Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Nun Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 4 lines from the top of Daf Nun Beis. We continue in the discussion of what are animals allowed to go out from a private domain into a public domain while they're wearing different appurtenances. Tana Debei Menashe. We have a Tanaic source from the Yeshiva of Menashe. Eiz Shechokak Lo Bein Koraneho Yotze Ba'afsor B'Shabbos. A goat that you created notches between its horns is able to go out with an afsor on Shabbos. Rashi, at the third line from the top, says, Yotze b'afsor im tochvoi. The afsor is a type of, we'll call it, rope arrangement that you threaded through or attached to to the notches you made in the horns. Avol b'kshiro b'amalo, but simply to wrap this afsor rope around its neck, it's not going to be allowed. Why? Dilma shofa mereisha mitoch shirosha dak. We're afraid that the goat might extricate itself from the rope because it has a thin, tapering type head. Vehi mitnatekes mi lekanu lekan. It jerks itself from one direction to another. Kishemoshkanosa. When you draw the animal, the osila siyav amos brishus ramin. You'll end up. You, the owner, will end up be holding just the rope, the afsor, in your hands and walking with it for Amos and Rishus Arabim, which would be a clear Shabbos violation. So the source says that if you notched out its horns and attached the afsor there, so it will keep it from slipping off the animal's head. The Gemara continues, Boy Rav Yosef, Tochav lo bizikono mahu. As everyone knows from pictures or real-life experience, a goat has a beard. The question here is, what happens if you threaded this afsor through its beard and attached it to its beard as well, as opposed to the horns? The two sides of the question are as follows. Kevon de'i min sach lo ko'iv lo. Since if it tries to extricate itself from the rope that's now attached to its beard, it will experience pain. Lo asya min sucha. So it won't come to try to slip out of it. It won't try to remove its head from the afsar. Oy dilma zimnin de rofi v'nofil v'osil si dalad amas b'shus arabim. However, sometimes it's the beard, after all, is hair, so it can become loosened. The attachment through the beard and the afsor through the beard can become loosened, and thereby eliminating the pain factor if the animal tries to remove itself from the afsor. And once again, as we said earlier, you'll then end up holding the afsor in your hands without the animal attached to it anymore and walking with the afsor for Amos and Rishus Arabim. And that's something to be quite concerned about. Teku, so this question remains unresolved. The question of Tochav lo bizikona. Tanan Hosom. We have a Tanaic source which is associated with the issue of a Pora Aduma. Just by way of introduction, a Pora Aduma, the red heifer, which is an animal that's slaughtered and burnt and its ashes mixed with water in use for the purification from Tumas Meis, is an animal that is not allowed to be used for any work, any service of the owners, it otherwise becomes rendered unfit to serve as a pora aduma. What about the pora aduma wearing different things? Is that considered a burden for it or not? If it's considered a burden, so it will render it unfit. So we have a Tanaic source, Tanan Hasam. It says, V'lo biritsua shebein karneha. It's not allowed to walk out with a strap between its horns. We should point out that this is this is really a Mishnah on Daf Nun Dal Amud Beis that's not dealing with Pora Aduma per se. Our comments regarding the Pora Aduma are accurate, but not insofar as that this Mishnah is dealing with Pora Aduma. So, for by way of correction, this Mishnah V'lo Birtzua Shebein Karneha is talking about a Pora, a cow in general. What we mentioned about the Pora Aduma and its being forbidden to be used for carrying things will be of significance later in the sugya. But for the time being, just by way of correction, this is the issue of a cow on Shabbos. It's not allowed to carry out a strap that's woven between its horns. Omar Rav Yirmiya bar Abba, Pligi bo Rav Shmuel. There's a machlokis between Rav and Shmuel. Chal Omar bein lenoi bein l'shamer osir. Whether it's for decorative purposes, Rashi says, Shitsova v'kola lenoi ben karneo, it's a dyed strap and braided between its horns, kamin klia, mi karen lekaren, veino osava. It's just simply there as a decorative item, and the owner doesn't even hold it by that strap. That's noi. And whether it's l'shamer, for actually holding the animal by the strap, it's usur. And the reason for that is a cow doesn't need straps to guard it. It is it's a domesticated, a tame type of animal that even without holding it, it will walk in front of the owner. And this reflects the idea that Netirusa Yesero is a Masui. Continuing in the Gemara, V'chad Omar Lenoi Osir L'shamir Mutar. Other opinion we have here, Rav and Shmuel. So the other one says that for decorative purposes it's not allowed on Shabbos, but for Shmirah it is allowed. Now we have Rav and Shmuel, but we don't really know as of yet who says what. We just have Chad Omar and then Chad Omar 1 and 2. What we will try to do as the Gemara continues is determine who says what. And with our double underlines, we will be saying Tistayim de Shmuel. We're going to focus on Shmuel's name, his opinion, and try to figure what it is that he said. So that you see here, and then we'll say an opposite attempt a few lines later. The Gemara, Omar Rav Yosef, Tistayim de Shmuel, Hudamar Lenoi Osir, L'shamir Mutar. Let us conclude that Shmuel holds from is the second opinion, that for decorative purposes it's forbidden, but for guarding it's okay. We should just point out to make things a little easier, as far as Noi is concerned, there's no argument between these two opinions. The whole question is, what about Netirusa Yeserta, as would be represented by the Ritsua for a Pora? So the Gemara continues. Let us conclude that Shmuel is the lenient, represents the lenient one, that L'shamir Mutar. The Omar of Huna Barchia, Omar Shmuel Halacha Kechananya. And this we saw on Daf. Actually saw it on the third line from the top of this Daf at the end of our previous shiur, where Rav Huna Barchia rules like quotes Shmuel ruling like Chananya, and Chananya was the opinion that's Mekel with regard to Netirusa Yesera. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye, responding to Rav Yosef, says, Adarava, to the contrary, to Stayim. And by the way, we should point out that we're beginning here a long question. In other words, where Abaye is challenging Rav Yosef, and we have this marked as a long question with the Kuf encircled immediately the right-hand side of the Gemara text, the Kuf representing Kushya, and descending vertical dashed line, indicating all of the lines of Gemara opposite this vertical dashed line are the problem. Abaye says, well, let's conclude that Shmuel who the Amar Bein Lunoi Bein Lashamir Osir, that he is not only for decorative purposes but also for extra guarding will be restrictive. The Amar of Yudom Shmuel Machlifen Lifnei Rebbe Shelzu Bezu Mahu. The question had been presented to Rebbe, where the animals that were featured in the Mishnah with their respective appurtenances were switched around with one another. What would the din be? Omar Lefonov, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Kach Omar Abba. By the way, this whole section of Gemara we saw on the previous daf as well. So if it looks familiar, you're not imagining anything. So Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi said, Kach Omar Abba, Arba Behemos Yotzes Ba'afsar. There are four animals that are allowed to go out with an afsar, and they are Hasus, Haperid, Vahagomol, Vahamor. And this list is coming to say something specific. These, yes, and something else, no. Lav Lemute, Gomol Bechotem. Is it not coming to say that the Gomol can go out with an afsar, but a Gomol would not be allowed to go out with a Chotem? The Chotem being the nose ring, because that's Netirusa Yeserta. That's more than it needs. So, and this is all, Shmuel reported this, indicating that Shmuel would object to Netirusa Yeserta. So, as far as the cow with the Ritzua for Shmira, he would object to that. The Gemara responds, Sami Ha Mekami Ha. Sami literally like erase or reject the last opinion, the second presentation, where Shmuel is machmir in favor of the first presentation where he is lenient. So Abaye asks, Umay choses de masmis ha mekami ha, sami ha mekami ha. What is it that you see fit to reject the second approach, which is stringent, in favor of accepting Shmuel as the lenient one? We are going to read the, which ordinarily we don't do, but we're going to read the parentheses section, because it maintains an easier flow of Gemara. So the Gemara answers, if you're going to ask why did we choose to accept the more lenient approach, the answer is the Ashkechon Shmuel who the Amar Lenoi Osir Lishamer Muter. We've seen Shmuel to say that Lishamer is Muter, that if it's Netirus Yisera it's okay. The Itmar Rav Chiyo Bar Ashi Omar Rav Bein Lenoi Bein Lishamer Osir Rav Chiyo Bar Oven Omar Shmuel Lenoi Osir Lishamer Muter. So here, if we just focus on the markings, you see Shmuel as saying that Lishamer is Muter. We underline Shmuel and dashed underline Lishamer Muter. So Shmuel, here you have an explicit statement of Shmuel saying that Lishamer is okay. The Gemara asks, Mesve. Now this is a question that's focused on the opinion, let's say Abaye, for example, that tried to reflect an opinion that the Terusi Yisera is Osir. Now, this source, it's a short source, but this refers to the Pora Aduma. It says, Koshra Baalel B'moysera Kshera. If the Pora Aduma, it's a cow, naturally it's a, like we saw before, cow is a very domesticated animal, and it was tied with a Mosera, which is an afsar, it's a kosher. And the afsars, we said before, might be explained as some type of rope appurtenance. If you tie the paraduma with this rope, it's okay. If the afsor, which is certainly a netirusi yisera, the cow doesn't need anything, it's a very tame animal, and if the netirusi yisera, the extra guarding, would be constitute a burden, then how can you say that the paraduma is kshera? Asher lo ole oil omar rachmano. The Torah says regarding the paraduma, it must be an animal that there are no yoke went upon it. From which we learn, that's what the Torah says, from which we learn that a paraduma that was used for carrying things is rendered unfit as a paraduma. So we see from here that the Netirus Yisera is not categorized as a burden. And therefore, regarding Shabbos also, it would be okay. The Gemara answers that in principle, a Netirusi Yisera would be usher In the case of the Paraduma, this is not an example of an Etusi Yisera, but it's absolutely necessary. And there are three answers that all reflect that point. Omar Abaye, B'malicha Mir Le'ir. It's a case of the Paraduma being transferred, walked from one city to another. So on the road, it needs extra guarding. It needs the afsor around it, what's called the Mosera. Rava Omar Shiny Paraduma Yikoran. Rava says Paraduma is not indicative or reflective of other cows. The Paraduma is a very expensive animal, and hence it requires extra guarding. So what would constitute extra guarding for other animals is a necessary level of shmira for the Paraduma. So it's not a burden. And number three, Ravina Omar Bimoiredis. We're talking about a tempestuous Para Aduma that is hard to control, and therefore it needs the Afsor, the Mosera, as opposed to standard Poros. Hasus, Bashir, Vichule, and in the Mishnah, as it continued, it mentioned V'chol Bale Hashir, Yoitzin, Bashir, V'nim Shochen, Bashir. Here the Gemara wants to know what do these terms mean, Yoitzin and Nimshochin. Ma Yoitzin Umay Nimshochin. We have a few presentations. We've numbered them Rav Huna, the next line Shmuel, and then Masnisa Tana. Omar Rav Huna, Oy Yoitzin Kruchin, Oy Nimshochin. Yoitzin Kruchin literally means it's wrapped around. But Rashi explains that this is a reference to something that's put on it for decorative purposes. The term nimshachin is that it's drawn with it. It's a nitiusa. It's a means of guarding it. That's the now the shear really is the case of a type of. It's literally a necklace, but it's a band that is wrapped around an animal's neck. And we saw a more elaborate description of this when we learned the Rashi previously. Rashi on the Mishnah mentioned it's Daf Nun Aleph Omid Beis. Rashi there said Kamo Etzada, which is a type of bracelet or a necklace, Sovit Savor around its neck, Bitabask Vuaba, and there's a ring in the shear, there's an additional ring, Umachnisinbo Ritsuol Hevel, Umoishkin Abemo, and a strap is or a rope is threaded through that additional ring through which the animal is drawn. So the first approach to explaining the Mishnah. And that is Rav Huna, is that the Yoitzin, I should say the first approach, is O Yoitzin Kruchen, O Nimshachen, that it can wear this thing as something decorative, or it is drawn with it. And if it's drawn with it, it's an indication that that's its Nitirusa, it's watching or it's guarding. Ushmuel Omar Yoitzin Nimshachin V'ein Yoitzin Kruchim. The expression in the Mishnah when it said Yoitzin and Nimshachin, it means it's Yoitzin Nimshachin, means it wears this only if it's for guarding purposes, but not for decorative purposes. The Masnisa Tana, a Tanaic source on this topic, explains Yoitzin Kruchin Limoshech. Rashi explains on this kruchin limoshech, kruchin berevach. It's wrapped around with in a loose fashion with a space. That is, revach is a space. Shioch lachnis yodoi bein akerach litzavor. It can the owner can put his hand, slip his hand between the rope that's wrapped around its neck. It's not wrapped that tightly. There's a room for him to slip his hand in. O yaniach ma'at min achevel shimbos levroach yimaher v'yochzena. Or a little bit of the rope is left unwrapped. It's left loose. That if the animal should come to run away, you can grab it. So that's the third approach of Yotzen Kruchen. Yotzen Kruchen li Moshech, as Rashi explained. Omar Rav Yosef, Chazino lehu leigli debei Rav Huna. I noticed the calves of Rav Huna, Yotzen b'afsarehen Kruchen b'Shabbos. They went out with the afsor, with the ropes wrapped around them on Shabbos. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and structural note, because in the next few lines you'll see the use of triangles and a double underline. And we also have a lettering system, Aleph, Beis, and finally Gimel. The triangles are around the expression Ki Osa. These are Tiurim. These we'll see that when Rav Dimi comes and Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, when they come and tell us, they describe the mules. Tiurim, we've written on the side of the Gemara, Tiurim Shel Mulois, or Predos, mules Shel Base Rebbe. And you'll see that Rebbe's name is double underlined as we go on in the Gemara. Ech Shiotsu Bafsirein B'Shabbos, how the mules of Rebbe went out with the afsors around their necks on Shabbos. The Gemara will be preoccupied with this topic till the second line from the bottom of the Omid. Now the Gemara. Ki Osa Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came, he told us, Omar Rabbi Chanino, in the name of Rabbi Chanino, Mulois Shel Beis Rebbe Yoitzis Bafsirein B'Shabbos, that the mules of Rebbe went out with their afsors on Shabbos. Now, in light of the Gemara that we've learned in the last few lines, the idea of going out with it is rather vague. We've seen going out with it in a decorative fashion, or going out with it as part of its shmira. Ibayalo kruchen o nimshachin. When you say that in the mules of Rebbe went out with the officers on Shabbos, were they wrapped around it, which we explained earlier was something associated with something decorative, or nimshachin, or were they drawn with it, which would be part of its shmira? So we don't know that much from the story Rav Dimi reported. Toshma, so the Gemara tries to answer this. Toshma ki also Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Chanina Mulois. Notice the names. He too, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, is quoting Rabbi Chanina, but in a more detailed fashion. So he told us Mulois Shel Beis Rebbe Yoitzis Bafsirein Kruchin B'Shabbos. So this would answer the question. With kruchen means with the afsors wrapped around them, which would be something decorative for the animal. Amru Rabbonon Kamei de Ravasi. Before we go further, this is a very common structure that we see in the Gemara. Amrua Rabbonon, in front, Kame, in front of so-and-so. And very often you'll see this elicits a response from whomever the comment was made in front of. So the Rabbonon make a comment to Rav Asi, and we often in our Gemara markings we try to be consistent and highlight this with a squiggle underline, Amrua Rabbonon, so that you can just skim ahead and easily find the response to what's said by Rav Asi. And you can see that the last narrow line of the Gemara, Amar Luhu Ravasi, Ravasi responds to what they say. In addition, we are going to feature this Amru Rabbanan as a long point. In other words, they make a point in front of Ravasi. Ravasi later will challenge this, but in the meantime, they observe Amru Rabbanan Kamed Ravasi. Ha de Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Lo Tzricha. You really didn't need Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, and he was represented by the second triangle we just saw, three, four lines above. You don't really need him in this discussion. Mida Rav Dimi Nafka. From Rav Dimi, we could have figured this out. We could have figured out that they went out kruchen. De'i salka daitoch de Rav Dimi nimshachin komar. If you were to think that Rav Dimi was saying that the only thing that was allowed, that happened by the base Rebbe, was Nimshachin, which would mean a Tirusa, but Kruchin would not be allowed. And all Rav Dimi was trying to tell us was that the mulois are guarded with an afsar, that mulois who are prodim, are mules, that an afsar is sufficient, and it's for guarding them, and it's not a masui as such. Well, that information, Midrav Yudah Mar Shmuel Nafka, the Yomar of Yudah Mar Shmuel, that information could have been learned anyway from Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel's teaching. That said, and once again, this is something we've seen already a few times. What did Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel tell us? Machlifen hoyu lifnei Rebbe, shelzu bezu mahu. It was presented to Rebbe. The what about switching around different animals with different appurtenances, and the din? What would their din be on Shabbos? Omar lufana Rishmuel Rav Yosi, kach omar Abba, and Rabbi Shmuel interjected, quoting his father, arba behemus yotzes daafsar. And let's not make any mistake. We're dealing in our sugya about with an afsar. So four animals can go out with an afsar. Hasus v'haperid v'agomu v'chamor. And you see, we've dashed underlined perid because that also is the focus of our discussion. The prodos. Now there is a basic assumption in their point, in the Amru Rabbonon's point, that Rebbe accepted what Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said. So that if all Rav Dimi, the first triangle, if all Rav Dimi was trying to tell us that Rebbe would matir the mule with the afsar for shmira purposes, I wouldn't need Rav Dimi whatsoever, because that would have already been known from an earlier piece of information, that which was shared by Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. So if Rav Dimi is coming to tell us again about the Mulos Shel Beis Rebbe, it must be that the Mulos Shel Beis Rebbe, the Predos, the mules of Beis Rebbe, were going out not just for Shmira, but even Kruchen, even for decorative purposes, it would be okay. Thereby making Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda extraneous or unnecessary. Omar Luhu Rav Asi. Rav Asi says, no, we need Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Itzderich lehu. I need Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. De'i midi Rav Yehuda nafka. If I was relying just on Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, and that's a little gimel here, corresponds to the gimel we have a couple lines up that was encircled. If I would have just that, Have Amina, I would have thought Omar Lefonov, that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said in front of Rebbe, what Rabbi Yossi said, v'lo kiblo minei, that Rebbe himself didn't accept that at all. that Rebbe wouldn't have allowed afsar yotze b'pered, the pered yotze b'afsar. Komashma de Rav Dimi. So I need Rav Dimi to tell me that basic information, that the pered is yotze b'afsar for shmira purposes. And if I had just Rav Dimi without Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, if I would have had that first triangle comment without the second one, I would have thought that Hani Minim Shachem, that's to draw the animal with it as a means of guarding it, Aval Kruchim Lo. But for decorative purposes, no. Komashim under Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Therefore, I need Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda to tell me the further piece of information that even for decorative purposes, Rebbe was allowing the mules with the afsar wrapped around them. We continue. The Mishnah said, "Umazin alein v'toyvlon b'mekoymon." The mazin is the process of purification from tumas meis, the sprinkling of the poraduma water on it, and tovlon, and the immersion in a purification body of water, as would be generally we think of a mikveh, but in the case of bringing an animal into a mikveh, that might sound a little odd, so there's also the option of bringing it into other bodies of water that can serve as purification, so that if these appurtenances became tame, you can bring the animal into the water. The Gemara asks, Lameimra divinei kibule tuma ninu. Are you suggesting that these appurtenances are subject to Kabbalas Tuma, V'hotnan? The Kabbalas Tuma is to suggest that they are subject to becoming impure. Ba'atnan, we have the following Tanaic source, and this source will take us to the first word on the top of Omid Beis. Tabas Adam Tameah, a ring worn by people, is something that is subjected to tuma, can become tome. But Tabas Behemoth Kalim, Ushar Kohat Abois, at the top of Omid Beis, Tahoros. We've dashed underline what we have to focus on here. It says the rings of animals, animal rings and vessel rings and all other kinds of rings are not mekabel tuma. Animal rings are basically what we're discussing right now. We saw the shear, which was this item worn around the neck of an animal, and it had an additional ring inserted into it. It's an animal ring, a tabas behemot. It's not mekabel tuma. So why does our Mishnah make reference to the need for purification, for being matired, toivlon b'mekoyman, we said, when it doesn't become tummy in the first place? We might want to add a tabas kelim. Rashi says something like a ke'en shoysin b'rosh yodos ha-kelim. Maybe you've seen pots with handles, and at the end of the handle, there's a ring inserted into that. So that ring, if it's not part of the, if it's detached, it's not part of the handle, it's not subject to becoming tomei. So the question has been asked from this Tanaic source, from Mishnah and Kalim, the tabas behema is not mekabel tuma. The Gemara answers for two answers. And just to reiterate the question, the Mishnah suggests that the shear, which is, we'll say, ring-associated, and it's an animal ring, is subject to Kabbalah's Tumah. How could that be? Omar Rav Yitzchok, we're here at the top of Omid Beis, number one, the first of two answers. He says, Beboyin minoy adam lenoy behema. The ring that was attached to the shear was originally a person's ring, a human ring, and it became tome at that point. He then took the tome, person ring, and attached it to the animal's shear. So it needs tahara because of its original tuma. Number two, Rav Yosef Omar, Hoyol the Odom Moshech Bohen Esa Behema. Since the owner, the person, draws the animal using this ring, the ring is here in service of man, and therefore it's considered a vessel of people and not a mere tabas behema. Milo Tanya, do we not have the following Tanaic source, makel shel behema, shel mateches, mekabel tuma, a stick, a metal rod that's used in motivating animals to move, is subject to kabbalah's tuma, matam, and why is that? Hoyol v'odam roideh bohen, since the owner uses it to control the animal. So it's in service, it serves man. Hachinami, so too with the ring of the shear. Hoyol v'odam mosheich bohen. Since the owner, the person, draws the animal with it, is therefore considered a vessel of people and not a mere tabas behema, and that's why it's subject to kabbalah's tuma. As we go on in the Gemara, we want to just note our topic heading and structural note. We see a triangle featured, as we'll see in the Gemara, a couple of triangles as well. These are tshuvos, these are answers, la shela, ech oilu tevila betabas beso hashir. How is it effective to begin with? The ring that's inserted into the shear, it's a tight fit. And as such, if the ring was tomei, there is a chatzitza, an interposition problem. Namely, the water doesn't get around the tabas in a total, in a complete fashion because of the tight fit. So the Gemara asks, Vo'iko chatzitza, is there not a chatzitza problem? Omar Rabbi Ami b'she rischon. We glance at the Rashi. Bisharishon, you'll notice Rashi is a few lines below this point in the Gemara. He says, Hiko v'patish, he banged this, he pounded the ring, ad she nispashe v'nisrachik hanekev soviv soviv. until the hole became widened. So there was an action done, a banging done, to widen it, thereby making it looser, and the water will now get around what it needs to get around, to surround, to totally encompass the item. At this point in the Gemara, a long question appears. You'll notice the immediate left-hand side of Gemara text, a shin is encircled with a descending vertical dash line, where the Gemara wants to align Rabbi Ami with Rabbi Yosef that we saw earlier. In order to make the navigation a little easier, we also have arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text that you can use for aligning with the above arrow where Rav Yosef appeared. The Gemara asks, we should point out, as we did before, that the triangles represent answers to the question of the Chatzitza problem. So here the Gemara focuses on Rav Ami and says, Lema Rabbi Ami k'Rav Yosef svirolei. Let us suggest that Rav Ami will subscribe to Rav Yosef's approach before, when we had asked the question, how is it that the ring, the animal ring, is Mekabel Tumah in the first place? So Rav Yosef said it's Mekabel Tumah because a person uses it. It's in service of man. So let us suggest that Rav Ami holds like Rav Yosef. We'll have to explain why in a moment. The Iker Yitzchok, the Omar Beboyin Minoy Odom Lenoy Behema, because if Rabbi Ami, who said B'Sherishon that the ring was banged, thereby solving the Chatzitza problem, if he were to have held like Rav Yitzchok, that mentioned that the ring was Tomei because it was originally a man's ring, and it was then transferred to a Behema, well, if that were the explanation of how it became Tomei, it wouldn't need to be subjected to Tevila. Kevon Derizchon, since Rav Ami says, well, the ring was banged out, well, Ovad Buhu Maise Uporcholo Tumo Minayu, the banging of it, the changing of its form, is an action done to it, that would have removed the Tumo. Porcha is literally to flutter away, means the Tumah would have fluttered away. Disnan, we have a Mishnah that says, Kol HaKelim Yordim Lidei Tumasin B'machshava, all vessels can become subject to Tumah by the mere planning of their use as they are, even if they haven't been completed, but you are satisfied with its current stage of manufacture and you'll use it as it is. The mere planning is enough. However, if he ain't oilin mitumas, and if something were tumay, it doesn't depart from its tumah status, elo b'shinui maisa, unless an action is done to it. But if an action is done to it, the shinui maisa, that will remove the tumah. So Rav Ami was explaining that the toivlon b'mekoyman, it's subjected to tevila. What about the chatzitza? Well, the chatzitza is solved because rishon, he banged it out. What must have been the original tumah? Why did the original tumah hit it? Well, it's because it became tumay because it was in service of it was subject to becoming tumay because it was in service of man. Fine. So it was attached to an animal, this ring was part of an animal appurtenance. And if you'll ask, how does it get tumay? Because it's in service of man. Ah, so once it becomes tumay, is there not a chatzitza problem? So Rav Ami answers, rishon. So once you do the rishon, you remove the chatzitza problem. Now go immerse it. Because if Rav Ami would have subscribed to Rav Yitzchok, then the issue of chatzitza wouldn't even come up, because it wouldn't need tevila. Because once you bang it out, that itself removes the tumah. The Gemara responds and says that, in other words, the lema, the question was lema Rav Ami, Rav Yosef is not necessarily so. Rav Ami might very well subscribe to Rav Yitzchok. Sovar law, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Ami holds like the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. The Amar Maisa L'Sakein Lav Maisa Hu. It's true the source said that Shinui Maisa will remove the Tumah, but if the Maisa, if the action that's done to the impure vessel is a constructive Maisa, or a Maisa that is designed to improve something, then it doesn't remove the Tumah. It's constructive and doesn't is not effective in removing the Tumah from the Kli. And banging out the ring is actually important. It's good for using the ring. If it was originally a human ring, you'll need to bang it out to make it useful for the behemah usage. And therefore, that rishon wouldn't have removed the Tumah, and therefore the need for immersing it is still necessary. And as far as chatzitza is concerned, by banging it out, that removes the chatzitza problem, but it doesn't remove the tumah from it. So at this point, Rabbi Ami might very well hold like Rabbi Yitzchok as well. And this concept of maisa l'sakein doesn't remove the tumah is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, as is reflected in the following Tanaic source, Desanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Loi Omar Shinui Maisa L'Sakein, Elo L'Kalkel. The idea of Maisa, Shinui Maisa, removing Tuma, was never said if it's L'Takein, if it's for constructive or improvement purposes, only if the Maisa that you do to the Tame vessel ruins the vessel, then we would say it is effective in removing Tumah. All of a sudden, we see a triangle, and with our marking scheme, it's very helpful to appreciate why this is appearing. This is a second response to the issue of chatzitza. B'masnisa, Tony, in a Tanaic source, it is taught b'michulolin. Rashi explains the lower part of the narrow lines, b'michulolin, Mitchilo nasu halulin rechovim. The rings around the animal are made originally in a wide fashion. Sheesh halal bidvikoson. There is a space at the point that they are attached. Shenosan tabas besoch tabas kamos shehu rochov. We're talking here about rings that are inserted into other rings with where the original attachment was one of width. Of space, so there we don't have the problem of the tight fit, and therefore there's no chatzitza problem. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new topic with structural notes. So on the side of the Gemara, you can see under the Nosei Mivneh, the bowtie shape appears around the word shomati. It could have just as well appeared around the beginning of the Tanaic source, the word sho'al, because later, where the second bowtie appears, you'll notice the Tanaic source on that line where it says v'od sho'al. However, we randomly chose the word shomati. That word that we'll be seeing here of a Talmud that reports, there was a Talmud asked a question of Rebbe Lezer, where he says, I heard something. Now, we will see in the Gemara, I heard something regarding Shecholkin, a distinction is made, and we have a double underline, Bein Tabas L'Tabas, a distinction is made between rings, and later in the Gemara, where the Shomati is, I heard that they make a distinction between different kinds of needles. So, first, let's take a bird's eye view of the sugya just to get the layout of the land. Two Tanaic sources will appear in the course of this Gemara, and they're introduced with the bow tie shape. In each one of the sources, a Talmud is saying that I heard that, and the Talmud asks the question, presents the question to Rebbe Lezer, saying, I heard that distinctions are made between different kinds of rings, and later, where the Roman numeral 2 appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, so you skim down the wide lines, you can see that. The same structure appears where he says, I heard them, that there's distinctions made between different kinds of needles. So, in our comment on the side, where the double underline appears, we've noted that that highlights the expressions bein tabas la tabas, likewise bein machat la machat. The Gemara continues to deal with tabois u'machatim, rings and needles, legabi tiltel b'Shabbos, regarding being allowed to move them around on Shabbos, and number two, regarding kabolas tuma, do these things absorb tuma? The Gemara will present us with more geometric forms, but we'll explain them when we get to them. Just once again, the general setup of this Gemara is that we have two sources where some type of tradition was heard that a distinction is made between different kinds of rings, and later between different kinds of needles, and the issue is under what circumstances are distinctions made between different kinds of rings, and likewise different kinds of needles. In each case, I want to emphasize here that the Gemara is very structurally, not topically, but structurally very, very repetitive. So that if you get down the initial structure, the second installment where the Roman numeral number 2 appears, you'll see basically the same structure of Gemara. So in the first installment, where a distinction is made between rings, Rabbi Elazar will suggest maybe you heard the concept of distinction in the context of Shabbos, because in the context of Tumah, no distinction is made. The Gemara will then challenge that. What do you mean that in the realm of Tumah, no distinction is made between different kinds of rings? And there will be a series of questions on that. Each question is going to be questioning the answer that was given right before the next question appears. It's a type of build-up structure. And the same thing will happen when we get to the issue of the needles, where Rabbi Elazar says, if you heard anything about distinctions, it must have been in the realm of Shabbos, because in the realm of Tumah, do v'do achasi, they, all kinds of needles are treated the same. And in that case as well, the Gemara will say, is that really so, that in the realm of Tumah all needles are treated the same? And the Gemara will then present a series of sources which will question that idea. Now let's turn to the Gemara. Shoal Talmud Echad Migolil Ha'Elyon Es Rebbe Elazar. A student asked, who was from the Upper Galilee, asked Rebbe Elazar, Shomati shecholkin bein tabas letabas. I heard that distinctions are made between different kinds of rings. The Omer lo, shema lo shomate el inyan Shabbos. Maybe you heard that distinctions are made between different kinds of rings. That's with regard to Shabbos. Regarding the issue of hoitzah, of carrying a ring from one domain to another, from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim. And a distinction is made between rings that have a choysim on it, a signet ring, versus rings that are without a signet on it, without a choysim on it. De'i le'inyan tumah, because if you are in the realm of a ring being subject to kabbalas tumah, do v'do achasi, all rings are the same. They all are whatever, but they're all the same. No distinction. The Gemara asks, "Union tumah dovado achasi?" And regarding tumah, is it so to say that all rings are the same? Now we introduce the house marking, and on the side, these are explained as kushios mimukoros al hodikotoni linyan tumah betabois dovado achasi. These are a series of questions on what we just said. How can you say that with regard to rings, they are all the same regarding Tumah? The Hotnan, we continue in the Gemara with the first house marking. We have learned in a Tanaic source, Mishnah and Kalim says, Tabas Odom Tamea. The Tabas Behemo Vekalim, Ushar Kol Hatabos Toros. This is a source we saw earlier. This we saw at the very end of Omid Aleph, and it concluded at the top of this Omid, where Tabas Odom a person ring, human rings, are subject to Kabbalah's Tumah, to their ritual impurity, and animal rings and vessel rings are not. So you see distinction with regard to Tumah with rings, as well as Shabbos. The Rebbe Elazar answers, Ki ko'amar lei ihu nami, when Rebbe Elazar said that regarding Tumah they're all the same, the Odom ko'amar lei. With regard to people rings, they are all the same. Question, Uda Odom davado achasi v'hatanya, regarding people rings, are you saying that all people related rings are the same? V'hatanya, and again, we're in the realm of Tumah. Is that really so? We have a Tanaic source that will show us otherwise. Tavas shiskino lachgor bo mosnov, v'kashir bo bang seifov tahara. V'lo omru tamea, elo shel etzba bilvad. A ring that is made for attaching different types of straps on one's loins or between one's shoulders, those kind of rings are tohor. They are not mekabel tumah. Once again, these are rings that are used for attaching straps on a person's body, reminding us something of maybe something like suspenders or other kinds of belts that have rings on them. They are not mekabel tumah. The idea of rings, mekabel tumah, is rings that one wears on his finger. So we see that with regard to Adam, we cannot say Dovado Achasi either. So what was Rebbe Elazar saying when he answered that Talmud that with regard to Tumah, Dovado Achasi, that all kinds of rings are the same? The Gemara answers, Ki Kamar Le Ihunami. Rebbe Elazar, when he answered the Talmud regarding rings, the Etzba Kamar Le, finger rings. They, with regard to finger rings, human finger rings, they're all the same. With regard to Shabbos, we mentioned earlier that human finger rings are distinguished between those that have a signet on it versus those that don't. Question. Ude etzba dovado achasi. And with regard to human finger rings, they're all the same. Vatnan. We have the following Tanaic source. It says, Tabas shel mateches v'chusmo shel al moig tmea. If this describes a ring with a signet on it. So if the ring is made of metal and the signet is made of almog, almog is a type of wood. So the ring is mekabel tumah, because with regard to rings, we base ourselves on the material of the ring and not the signet. And the ring, being that it's made of metal, even though it's called a pshute kli matris, it doesn't have a receptacle area, it doesn't have a base kibble, it doesn't matter. It nevertheless is mekabel tumah. However, he shall almoig v'choismo shall mateches Torah. If the ring is made of almog material, which was classified a type of wood, and the signet is made of metal, so it will not be mekabel tumah, because we base the tumah standard on what the ring is made of. And if it's made of wood, so it's called a pshute kli, it's a non-receptacle type. Generally speaking, a flat piece of wood. In this case, it really means it's a ring, but it doesn't have any receptacle area. It therefore does not mekabel tumah. These are concepts that one who learns Hilchus Tumas regarding kelim is probably quite familiar with. Pshute kliates are not mekabel tumah. So we see a distinction made within human finger rings. So what was Rebbe Elazar saying when he said with regard to tumah davado achasi? Answer: Ki k'omar le ihunami kula shamateches k'omar le. Rebbe Elazar, when he said that regarding tumah, all rings are the same, where the entire ring is made of metal, that namely you have the ring and the signet are made of metal. So whatever the situation is where the whole thing is made of metal, all human finger rings will mekabel tumah. With regard to Shabbos, though, it depends whether it's a ring with a signet or without a signet. Then we make a distinction. But with regard to tumah, whether the ring has a signet on it or not, it will mekabel tumah. So what one sees at the end of this discussion, what sounds like a very broad comment, that regarding Tumah, all rings are the same, at the end of the story, it's a very, very focused and detailed point, or say very limited point. The Oid Shoal, and here that Talmud that originally presented his question, or presented his tradition to Reb Elazar, appears again. The Oid Shoal Shomati Shecholkin Bein Machat LeMachat. I heard that distinctions are made between different kinds of needles. We'll talk about needles that have holes in them that are useful for sewing, and have needles that don't have holes in them that may be decorative. And so he says, I heard regarding needles that there is a distinction made. Omar Lay, so Reb Elazar says, Shema lo shamata linyan Shabbos. Maybe you heard that distinctions are made with regard to Shabbos. And once again, with regard to the realm of Chotzah, that wearing out outside a needle with a hole in it, that would be a chiyuv chatos. That's not decorative. That would simply be the equivalent of simply carrying out a sewing needle into Rishus Arabim. That would be chayav. However, a needle without a hole in it, that's a decorative type needle. That would be okay. That would be a kishut, a type of ornamental needle, and that's okay. The Eil Inyan Tumah, because as far as the realm of Tumah, you wouldn't have heard any distinctions made. Do v'do achasi, all needles are the same. And once again, as we saw before, the same structure appears. Inyan Tumah do v'do achasi, and is that really so with regard to Kabbalah's Tumah? All needles are treated the same. The Hotanan. You'll notice we have a diamond with a colored-in tip. Simply a series of questions on what we just said. We changed the marking from the house shape simply because here we're structurally it's the same as the house above, but it's focused on the issue of the machat, the needles as opposed to the rings, so we changed the shape. So, is it really so that regarding Tuma, all needles are treated the same? V'otnan, machat shenita chura o uksa tahora. A needle that whose hole or point was removed is not mekabel tuma. So that a needle with a hole in it or that has its point is mekabel tuma. If they were removed, it's not mekabel tuma. So you see that within the realm of needles, a distinction, and the realm of needles and tuma, a distinction is made. So what did Reb Elazar mean when he said do v'do achasi? Ki komale, when he said that all needles are the same, with regard to Tumah B'Shleimo, where it's complete, nothing's been removed, it's still complete. Question, U'B'Shleimo Dov Ado Achasi, and with regard to complete needles, is it so that all needles are the same with regard to Tumah V'Hotnan? Machat Shel Sechaluda, a needle that developed rust on it. Now the needle is complete, just got rusty. Im me'akev is a tviro tahora, v'im lav tamea. If the ability to sew with it is restricted, me'akev, it's prevented, so then this rusty needle won't mekabel tuma. If you can still sew with it, it is mekabel tuma. V'amri debei Rav Yanai v'usheri shuma nikar. Rashi has two pshatim on this, but we're going to use the lishna achrina pshat in Rashi is that if the rust is visible on the article that you're trying to sew, that's called rishumo, because its impression is visible. That would be a reason for ma'akiv esatfira. That's people wouldn't sew with it. For our purposes, what's the point here? Point is a pun that we should overlook for right now. What is the issue? We see that with regard to needles, even if they're complete, a distinction is made with regard to their ability makabel tuma. The Gemara responds, ki komale b'shifo komale. When Reb Elazar said do v'do achasi, it's with a non-rusty shifo. I mean, literally means it's been sanded down, where any rust that might have been has been removed. So it's a clean needle. Question: Ubashifa davado achasi, and with regard to clean, complete needles, they are all the same with regard to kabbalos tuma v'atanya. We have the following Tanaic source: machat bein nekuva bein eino nekuva, a needle whether it has a hole in it or not. Mutar letatala b'shabbos. Letatala is moving it around within an enclosed area, not to be confused with hoitzah. So here, with regard to Shabbos, we have a leniency that whether it has a hole in it or not, you can move it around in a chotzer, in an enclosed area on Shabbos. Rashi points out it has a use, it has a kli value to it, as a kli status, a vessel status to it, in that all kinds of needles could be used for removing a splinter, whether the needle has a hole in it or not. Therefore, it's mutter l'tatal b'Shabbos, as it enjoys a vessel or kli status that enables you to move it on Shabbos. For lo amrino nekuva l'inyan tuma bilvad, the significance of a needle having a hole in it is only with regard to kabbalas tuma. That if it has a hole in it, so it's subject to kabbalas tuma, and if not, no. So you see that even if you have a clean, complete needle, a distinction is made regarding Tumah. The Gemara says that this source is referring to something very specific. Ha, Tirguma Abaya, Liba de Rava. Abaya explained this in accordance with Rava. Begolmi. Before we explain Begolmi, we must deal with the basic structure of the Gemara is that Reb Elozer's statement remains intact that Gabi Tuma Dovado Achasi, all needles are the same. No distinction is made. If you're dealing with a clean, complete needle, they will all be subject to Kabbalas Tuma. If you're going to make a distinction within the realm of needles and Kabbalas Tuma, you'll have to be talking about Golmi. Golmi is a state or a situation where the needle making process hasn't been completed yet. That's already, we'll say, a different realm. So that in the Golmi realm, there is a distinction to be made. But in general, when it's a needle that's already has been completed and it's clean and it's complete, then no distinction is made. The Rashi explains the Golmi. You see, the Rashi says Shehu Goylem, shenitzitza min achud v'omedes linokev. In the needle making process, there was initially a long, thin piece of metal, and from which you cut units into needles, and it's there to have a hole made in it as well. So, hosamhu the chosman shelo nikva, in the needle making process, a piece of needle that's waiting, or a piece of metal that's going to be a needle that's waiting for its hole. So as long as the hole hasn't been made, where the eye hasn't been made in the needle, eino mekabeles tuma. Dolo nigmaro melachto, it hasn't been completed, and a vessel that hasn't been completed is not subject to kabeles tuma. Ul inyan tuma kli maisa ksiv, regarding ability of something, of a vessel to mekabel tuma, it has to be a kli maisa, a useful vessel. Shigomar kol maseu, that its entire manufacture process has been completed, finished. Umiyu linyan Shabbos, sharya. However, regarding Shabbos, even if it hasn't been completed, it's still mutter to move it around. Zim the mamlich olel, monach lo hochi. Sometimes people decide to leave it without the hole made in it. Umashvi le monotias kus, and it thereby becomes a vessel with regard to its usefulness for splinter removal. However, when you are dealing with a needle that has been completed, kagon that ishpulinga she'ena oimedes linokev, imagine a needle that is made originally without any hole making or eye making intention. Do v'do achasi l'tuma, all completed needles in their manufacture process, needles that are made with eyes and needles that are made without eyes, they're all the same regarding tumah. They'll all be able to bekabel tumah. So as far as Rebbe Lozer's original teaching, Inyan Tuma Dovah D'Achasi, this is still true. The Mishnah. Chamor Yotze B'Mardas Bizman She'i K'shura Bo. A donkey can go out with a mardas. Rashi gives a French word for it. Some of the translations that deal with Rashi's French words give a certain explanation to it, dealing with a type of leather, a leather skin bottle that shepherds use. However, we're going to refer to the mardas as something that provides warmth to donkeys. Might be in the form of something even like a blanket or something made that's for placing over the back of a donkey, and it, as we said, it provides warmth for the animal. Can the animal walk out with a mardas on Shabbos? The Mishnah says if it's tied to it. Zichorim yotzin levuvin. These are rams. They walk out in a they can go out on Shabbos in a state of levuvin. Rashi says that the Gemara will explain that. Rechelos yotzis shechuzos. Kvulos ukvunos. Female sheep, as opposed to rams, the rechelos, they go out on Shabbos. Shechuzos, kvulos, and kvunos. Again, Rashi says, we'll wait for the Gemara to explain that. Ho'izim, goats, yotzes, tsuros. Tsuros has to do with the udders of a goat being tied. That's a very superficial explanation. There is more to it than that. Rashi elaborates a bit over here, and will be dealt with by the Gemara as well. Let's learn the Rashi anyway by way of introduction to what we'll see in the Gemara. Rashi says four lines from the bottom: Tsuros, Dodehen, Tsuros. Their udders are tied. Ka'omim liyadash. Sometimes to dry them out, meaning to stop the milk manufacture. Shemahakide shalei chuvod v'isabru. To tying their udders shut will stop them from lactating and enable them to enter pregnancy. O you shmenois lechol, or maybe he wants to fatten them up. And as long as they're lactating, so they won't be able to get fat for eating purposes. Upamim lechalov lishmor chalovon. Sometimes he ties up the udders to guard the milk. Shalei taftei floretz goshen lem kispa dodan. So as to keep the milk from dripping out onto the ground, little pouches are tied to them. So we see different tying considerations, all contained in the word tsuros. The Mishnah continues. Rabbi Yossi oser bekulon chutz min rechelim hakavunos. Rabbi Yossi is very restrictive and says all the cases represent a masuya burden, except for the case of the sheep that are kavunos. Rabbi Yuda omer izin yotzis tsuros liabesh avalo lecholov. Rabbi Yuda, he holds like the Tanakhama that the things mentioned above are not burdens. However, with regard to the issue of the goats and their udders being tied, he will accept them if the tying is liabesh. It's to dry it out, literally, which involves a very tight fitting or tight knot around the udders. And we don't have to worry that the tie might fall off, and you'll end up carrying whatever this tie pouch is. You'll end up carrying it in the Rishus HaRavim. However, if it's a tying to protect the milk, so it's not a very tight fit, so that's what Avolo L'Cholov, there Rabbi Yehuda says we won't allow that because it might slip off, and you'll end up carrying the pouch in the Rishus HaRavim on Shabbos. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.